We welcome a new sister today. We welcome doctor once again. Yeah, I know. So we welcome and thanks. Yeah, I know. We know each other. But can you just introduce yourself? Yeah, just your name?
Fatima.
Fatima, okay. She's Sister Fatima. I know her from years ago.
Yeah,
I know.
It's so nice.
I know her when she was a spinster, you know, before getting married.
Yeah, long ago.
Yes, that's good. Marcus is temporarily posted in Lisboa, but he makes it sure that he comes here. The blessings are more than the expenses, you know.
It's coming to
Lisboa.
Yes, yes, it comes. Because the Revelation is the only book which declares it. You know, that when you, the very first chapter it says, you know, whoever reads this book is blessed. Just check it. Yeah. The whole Bible is blessed, but the Revelation mentions that. Isn't it right, darling?
Yes, I think so.
I think so. Okay. Let's bow our heads low before the Lord. Lord, we thank you for another beautiful Lenten season that you have just blessed us with, Lord. A time where we can reflect on the sacrifice that you have done by giving your Son up for each one of us, Lord. No father sacrifices his own son, but you have done it, Lord, Almighty God, to show us how great is your love for us, Lord. And we thank you for this, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for taking up voluntarily, leaving your divinity in heaven and coming down on earth, because your love for us was extremely great, Lord. You came for a purpose, you attained that purpose, and you went back to heaven, Lord God, victorious, O Lord. We sprinkle that precious blood that you shed for us on that way to Calvary, Lord, and from that cross upon this place, Lord. Because it is only that blood that redeems. It's only that blood that has power, Lord.
Amen.
And you have come to shed this blood for each one of us, Lord. And today, we rejoice and we have victory in this precious
Amen.
Blood of yours, Lord.
Thank you.
We sprinkle this blood, Lord God, so that everything that is not of thy kingdom will be moved out from this place, Lord. And we will be able to reflect on your word without hindrance, O Lord God. And sweet Holy Spirit, come once again. This is your time. This is your sessions. We are all come eagerly to hear from you what you have to give us, Lord. You know the depths of our hearts individually, Lord. And only you can penetrate into our hearts, Lord, and sow this word into our soil, into the fertile soil of us, Lord God. And we anticipate this not only today, but every day of these sessions, Lord God. And you have been faithful to us, Lord God. Today also, Lord God, we know that you are going to teach us something great, Lord God, so that So that this revelation will come alive, O Lord. Yes. The end times will come alive to us. And this is the time when you are empowering us. You are preparing us for the end times, Lord. And thank you, Mother Mary. You are at the cross. You are with Jesus all the time. You are with the apostles all the time. And today you are with us, the earthly apostles of you, all the time, Mother Mary. And continue to be with us. Be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and keep us under your mantle of blue, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen,
amen, amen. 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 In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to our 24th session. Praise the Lord. Just for the benefit of Dr. Saldana and Fatima, we are on the Book of Revelation. We are on the fifth chapter for now, so far, and I'll not explain the beginning because that will take a long time, but we are in the heavenly realm where John sees a vision. The revelation itself is a vision, but now in this vision, we have come to the place where John is taken to the heavenly realm. In the heavenly realm, he sees God the Father, in all his lights, you know, in all, he cannot see Father as a form because he is a spirit, but we can see him. John sees him through penetrative lights, shining lights, which cannot be seen by the naked eye. But John sees it because there is also a rainbow of emerald around him, which allows John to have a glimpse of God the Father. And then we see. Come on, homework. What do you see next? 24 elders, the thrones, seated round the throne of God. And between the elders and God, who is there?
The four cherubims.
The four cherubims, yeah. The cherubims are beautiful figures with six wings and all eyes, plenty of eyes, which indicates that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-seeing. Okay? He does. These eyes don't indicate that he is a God who sees us to punish us, but he is a God who sees everything to love us, to care for us, to protect us. That's the meaning of those eyes. And then we see the chorus of angels around as well. Okay, they start this, and then during this time, everybody can be seen, and there were descriptions of all God the Father given, the elders given, and by the way, the elders, the 24 elders, were represent. 12 represent the 12 tribes of the Old Testament, and the next 12 represent the apostles. So you and I, we are all represented there in that heavenly realm. Okay, so we have hope. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, Alan, you can have a tea. And then, John has concentrated on God the Father. He has concentrated on the 24 elders, and then the cherubims, which are these angels, and now towards the end of this chapter, and the one thing in the God the Father's hand is a scroll. A scroll is a rolled up book. They didn't have books at that time. They had this rolled up paper made of papyrus, and it has seven seals. The only documents at that time which had seals were the will where any important document, it had to be a will, and it was sealed so that it is an important document. And whoever seals, in whosever presence that document has been sealed, only all those people, all their representatives, could open that document for knowing the will, or, you know, what he could retrieve that will as well. Then, so God the Father has in his hands now a scroll. And on this scroll, there is not one seal, but there are seven seals, right? Which indicates a lot of importance. It's a very important, because seven is a very important number in biblical history. It's a complete number. So there are seven things that are happening in that. Now, the scenario is such that the seal is there, and there's an angel shouting with the top of his voice, so that voice should penetrate not only in the heavens, but in the earth and under the earth as well, announcing anybody who can open that seal. So John heard the announcement, and there was silence. Pin drop silence in the whole of arena there in the heavenly realm. And John at that moment like we do sometimes when we are struck with sudden panic. He didn't know what was happening. He was so overwhelmed with grief that he began to weep uncontrollably, sob uncontrollably. Because when the angel announced, is there anyone who can, worthy, he didn't say who can, he said is worthy to open the scroll, nobody came forward, nobody could come forward. And John is watching this vision, and then he's crying. He said, finished, that's the end of it. It's like, you know, when you are at the end of a dangerous situation and you know you're going to die, that feeling is what John gets at that moment. But then, one of the representatives, that means a human representative, goes and taps John and he says, my dear, don't cry. Behold, he says, do not weep, but behold. It's a very important sentence which the elders speak to John and which we should use very much in our life today. It says, do not weep, but behold. And John was awestruck when he said that. He stopped sobbing. How do we put this sentence into our life today? I've never discussed this before. So,
when people lose hope or despair,
be still and know that time.
When people lose hope, even today, John came to a stage when there was no hope. No hope to be seen. But what did the elder say? He patted him on his back and he said, do not weep, but behold. Behold whom? Then comes this next stage. Then he sees that lamb lying down in the corner. Slaughtered lamb. He was not a slaughtered lamb, but he was a lamb which looked like slaughtered, you know, because he was slain. He was not slaughtered at that very particular moment, but he had the marks of the slaughter on him.
And the Lion of the Tribe.
Yeah. The title is given to him later on, but he sees the Lamb of God, that same Lamb of God, who is also the Lion of Judah. Yeah. So you see two contrasts, Lion of Judah and a Lamb of God, okay, a slaughtered lamb. You know, during the time of the Passover, you know the time of Passover? When the angel of death was moving, what did God tell the Israelites? Kill a lamb, yeah, and put the blood on the lamppost. And wherever the blood is there, the angel of death will pass over, he'll not touch you. Now, to kill that lamb for Passover, they had to first purchase a small lamb. It's not a big sheep. It's a small lamb. Okay, a little lamb. And they had to keep that lamb along with them for at least about 10 days. You know, so especially the children, they get so attached to that lamb. They get so attached to a lamb because 10 days or 15 days, they have to feed that lamb well. A lamb went out without blemish. Okay, so they had to feed that lamb. And then the time comes when the day of atonement comes, the death comes. And then they have to kill that lamb. So it was a lamb that was loved, and suddenly that same lamb then saves you. Okay, he's the same Jesus who was that time depicted as, God showed what would happen in the future. So that's the same Jesus. That's why it's shown, Jesus shown as a meek lamb. Okay, he has finished his role of a meek lamb. Now then, John sees that meek lamb, and then he breathes a sigh of relief because he knows only this lamb, which is also called the Lion of Judah and the Lamb, is worthy to open the scrolls. Okay? Isn't that a great thing for us even today? You are not ordinary people. We are not ordinary people. We belong to that Lamb who was slain. Slain for what? Slain for our sake. If he could die for you that time, when you and I were sinners, you think he's going to leave us today? So every despair, even today, you know, brings agony to God, to Jesus especially. He says, I died for you, yeah. You know, listen to me. I've died for you and you don't have any confidence in me. You are so, like, you know, you are so distant that you think your problem is better than me. And if you believe in that, of course, God has given such a beautiful free will that whatever you believe happens. You pray and you believe that something good is going to happen to you. It has to happen. Amen. That's the law of God in nature and everything. You sow, that seed has to grow. Right? And so if you believe that you are going to have some evil things coming into you, some distort coming to you, you will get it. There's no two ways about it because you have asked for it. If a farmer sows not so good seeds, you know, inferior quality seeds, he will definitely get an inferior crop. If he sows the best of seeds, right, he will get a beautiful crop. So the principle of sowing and reaping is true in everything that we do, even today. And that's where God has got no individual choices. He has said it; it is done. You know, He has said it. A seed will be sown; it will come up. It may be a wrong crop because of your seed. Now, similarly, when we do something today itself, when we sow good seeds, you get good crops. When you sow bad seeds, you get bad crops, you know, in our personal life. So that principle will never move. Now, in spite of sowing good seeds, the devil will still come to put in those weeds. That's where there was a story told, also a parable is told. And then they asked, like, should we remove those weeds? They said, no, don't let them grow together. When the time comes, we will separate the weeds from the sin. The same thing happens today. The rain falls on the good as well as the bad. The sun shines on the good as well as the bad. The God is a beautiful God. He's a God who gives you chances, right? And that is the chance He gives us till today. Choice is ours. So then John sees that lamb. He's so excited because only that lamb can open the seals. That was his job of a lamb, which is over, and now when he comes back next, he'll come as the Lion of Judah, and there is no. He's already see for us we know, he is the Lion of Judah, and he is the Lamb to be slain Lamb. Today, when he comes, what will you take him as? Take an example. You have a choice today. You are suffering something, and you need to make a decision. Are you going to look at Jesus as a slain lamb, or are you going to look at Jesus as the Lion of Judah? God, I'm asking you a question.
A victorious God.
Yes. So he's the Lion of Judah today. So if you believe that he's the Lion of Judah today, he is the Lion of Judah today because he's already done the victory. He will come to make judgment on the last day, but the victory he's already given to you and me for us to. Yeah. If you look at Jesus on the cross today, can you say, "Oh Jesus, you have died"? No, you have died. Can you believe? He says, no, he's not dead. He's looking at the cross. We look at the cross to know what he has done for us. But he's alive. We serve a God who's alive.
Amen.
Okay. Now, then we start the singing. You know, the singing of the hymns. Everyone starts praising the Lord. We are on chapter 5. Huh? We are in chapter 5 and we begin 9 today, but a little bit go behind on chapter 5, 8 or something.
8. Hmm. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. Continue to
11. No. Now... See, so now the next stage after this scenario, which I told you, is the angels are with the harps, right?
Yes. With harps and golden bowls full of incense.
Yeah, they are with harps. Harps are the stringed musical instruments. Okay, and the golden bowl is in the hands of the
saints. No, they are in the hands of the
24 elders. Now we have also seen that his golden bowls are bowls of incense. Which are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers don't just vanish into the air. This scenario gives us a very important message about our prayers and how important God values our prayers. It says that angels come and take our prayers to the heavenly realm. You know, if you see into depth, the angels come and take our prayers. So whenever you pray, remember that that is the powerhouse between in this sentence, you know, because we know that the prayers are like incense to the Lord. Mm-hmm. good smelling. So the Lord likes them. And that is why God answers our prayers. The angels have the time to come to us, take our prayers and go to the heavens. And we have discussed this in the past, where we believe that these are the guardian angels of ours. And they are met halfway through by the other angels like the seraphims, the cherubs, and even Michael. There are certain categories, the archangels. They take these prayers to heaven. Now, knowing this scenario, how much confidence should we have for that God is going to answer our prayers? How much confidence? Yes, 100%. Now, the Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. But now, in this revelation, God is telling you what happens to your prayers and to my prayers. So what confidence? We just say, Father, these are my prayers. I'm giving it to you. Knowing and believing that it is answered. Because your angels are carrying out. Now see, there's in other, you know, in what book is that? Tobit, no? Tobit.
Yeah,
where the angel was fighting.
Daniel.
No, Daniel. Daniel. Tobit is the other one where he had a spirit. The angels, he said that the prayer was answered long 21 days ago, but he was fighting with the evil spirits. And it took him 21 days to fight that evil spirit and send the prayers, answered prayers down. So when your prayers are not being answered, don't think that God has not looked at it. There is a spiritual warfare going on. You think, dear brothers and sisters, you know, just remember, the devil is not going to give in very easily. Never at all. The more you come closer to the Lord, the more you are in tune with the Lord, the more you depend on the Lord, he will attack you more. Don't be afraid of it. You should be aware of it. The devil will attack you more than, because when you were half of God's, he was okay with that. Because you are not a threat to him. But now when you are coming closer and closer, percentage wise, you know, you are 50%, okay, fine, he'll tolerate you. 25 for him, 25 for God, 75 for him, he's very happy. Then as the percentage increases, you know, towards God, 50-50, he is a little bit okay. But he still, when it comes above that 60, 70, he will destroy you that time. Okay? Now this should not make us up. Because the moment you come closer to the Lord, he gives you power. He makes you alive, you know, he makes you alive. And then you say, come, let's have a fight in Jesus' name. You don't have a fight with him within your name, he'll kill you. Because after Jesus, he's very powerful. So as the percentage increases, he's there next to you. When you get up, your guardian angel will be there. The first one to tap you will be the devil. With all, how he taps you? With something that has gone wrong the previous day. So that is his, I like the devil, why? Only for one reason. He never gives up. We give up, but he doesn't give up. And that's one habit you got to learn from him. Not to give up. You know, be strong. So, you know, so this is what happens. And then when you know that my God is answering my prayers, you know, it'll take some time. When it takes time, you remember that Michael is fighting the battle somewhere. Your prayer will reach you. Don't lose hope. It will come. It'll come in any form. Because the Bible tells you that as well. 21 days you have to fight. So whenever your prayer is not answered, count 21 from that day. And then you'll find it will be answered. Okay? And that's the confidence we have. Then what happens after that? So they have the harp. They sing the songs. Then?
Then, which are pressed to say. And then? You song, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation.
So who is singing this song now?
The
24 elders are singing this song of praise. Okay, then what happens after that?
The four living creatures.
Yes, so remember the sequence now. 24 elders and the four living creatures are singing this song. After that, the next one, who sings the songs next?
You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God. And they will reign on earth.
Saints from every tribe.
Yeah, then? Next.
Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.
How many of you have, in one way or the other, when you were young or something, have seen football matches, cricket matches? You know, there was especially football, because cricket is a long game and it takes time. But on a football match, when you have about 90 minutes game, yeah. you know, and especially your team is winning, you know what happens, no?
Yes.
There's crackers everywhere. Even when India and Pakistan or somebody win, plays this match, their crackers are ready. You know, and then there is once the World Cup is won and all, you know, you'll find, even on the TV, they show you how the nations rejoice. That is nothing compared to what's happening here. The whole heavenly realm is rejoicing. Rejoicing with harps, rejoicing in this day, because who is the victor? The Lamb who was slain is today become the victor. You know, they have realized His worth. They have realized His worth and they are shouting praises to the Lord. Now, if our 24 elders are representing us there, what should be our reaction here on earth on a daily basis? Jesus wins battles for you and me on a daily basis, and we are supposed to be rejoicing on that. Now see, I'll give you another example. Now take an example, a good player is there, okay? During my time, there's Pele and all those guys, you know, who are really good. But today, there's somebody else. Now, suppose a guy is shooting a goal, and he's a hero for that moment. And then we all cheer him. The moment he gets a ball again, we cheer him. So he, with that cheer, he shoots another goal. And he's the hero of that day, right? Our Jesus is the hero in our lives every day of the moment, because He has won the battles for us. If you make Him a hero, He is definitely your hero. And He will fight the battle for you. He will strike those goals for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But what confidence have you got in Jesus is what matters the most. Right? If suppose a guy hits this thing. Suppose Pele. My time, I can only call Pele. And then the next time, people are all dead. Like, you know, okay, he's hit one ball. So what? If you have that attitude, then even Jesus will not work. Okay? That's okay. Now we come to 5:9. That's the chapter we are starting today. 5:9. Yeah.
The same one.
Worthy, right?
You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals.
Does it say the new song on that? The title? No.
No. My title is the same as 5, the scroll and the lamb.
Okay.
They sang a new song.
The new song, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now see. Now, we go into depth of revelations, because as we know that there is the whole secret is in the text. So you can't miss anything. Now, there is this praise rendered to the Lamb. To the Lamb, okay? Now, why is it rendered to the Lamb? What are the qualifications of the Lamb that so much of pomp and prestige and honor and glory is given to Him? Now, we have broken this into segments. We know that he died, right? And what are the reasons? What are the main reasons for that He died? Now, you've got to understand this thing. Jesus died a sacrificial death. Jesus died a sacrificial death. It was a death with purpose. You know, it was a death. He came. He left His heavenly abode. He came to earth to die. He didn't come for any other work. He came to die. He was born to die. It was not a death of a good man. Suddenly he was hit by a car and he died. No. Or suddenly he was attacked by robbers and he died. No. He was a good man. Yes. But he did not die on that basis. He did not die saving one person. You know, suddenly was going to the reciprocal. Car was about to hit. He pushed him and he died. No. He didn't die that death. He died a sacrificial death. Sacrificial death in the context is that He died to open the way for you and me to meet Father, to meet the God the Father. Sacrifice. Because, you know, even especially in the Old Testament, God the Father was portrayed as a very, you know, horror, you know, like judgment and strict and, you know, all that. And Jesus, when Jesus came, He showed a different version of Father. How loving He is. How caring He is. Then, when we had to, it was a death to restore the lost relationship between God and man, which Adam lost in his relationship with him, and we are all the descendants of Adam. So He died a sacrificial death. Secondly, the death of Jesus Christ was a liberating death. He died, but He liberated us from. There are a lot of the scripture verses on this one, for those who are interested to write down. He gave His life as a ransom. Yeah, He gave His life as a ransom for many, which is Mark 10:45. Okay, Mark 10:45 states, He gave His life as a ransom. Whom do we give a ransom to? a person who is abducted, right? The people rob him and then they ask for ransom.
Yes.
And then the father, whoever is there, pays that ransom and frees the child.
Yes.
So, you know, his debt has freed,
yes,
freed and liberated us. So, he gave his life as a ransom for many, is Mark 10:45. He gave himself as a ransom for all. For all is 1 Timothy 2:6. 1 Timothy 2:6 says he gave his life as a ransom for all, for everyone. Then he redeemed us. That means literally brought us out from the curse of the law. You know that we are all cursed by the sin, and he has redeemed us. And this is shown in Galatians 3:13. So very, this is one scripture which we must always remember. Because very often some good people, even in their ignorance, what do they say? Oh, it's a generational curse. We can do nothing about it. When the doctors will go for a particular case, especially when it's a diabetic case or something like the heart producing, they will always ask you the history of the parent, of the right doctor, to see if it's a genetical, which is true. But in Galatians 3:13, it says that he died on the cross to save us, to free us from the curses. So those generational curses, although that is right, they cannot touch us when we claim.
Yes.
When we claim. I remember once I heard a testimony of Brother Johnson preaching. Right? And he told us about one lady who took this curse so literally. When she was pregnant, because the curse came to a married woman during the time of labor, no? That God tells her that you will suffer greatly in your labor. That is the curse. And he told her, a serpent, the same thing. You will be dead. You remember that curse? Genesis curse. That the lady will suffer a lot while during childbirth, and he will walk on his belly. You know, that is the curse which they give him. Now this curse, this lady, which Brother Johnson was telling us, this lady said, claimed this 3:13, and she said, "No, Lord, you know, this is a generational curse given to you, to us by that time, but Jesus has broken this curse." And she was pregnant and she was to deliver. She delivered a child normally without any cutting open or something like that, and without pain. She gave a testimony because she believed in that. That is a curse, right? That this thing, and unfortunately, we just take it as for granted. But she said that she has claimed that curse while she was in pregnancy, and she had a beautiful delivery without any pain and no caesarean. You see? She believed, she got it. Right? So all the young girls of today, when you got married, remember that. It's a very important the curse. Another place it says that Jesus smashed the teeth of the devil in this one, because he died for that curse. And you know, the curse came unto the mankind because of him. Because he did say, and Jesus broke that curse, those curses. Not only any, all the curses have been broken by Jesus on this. So claim this, put it on your frame. You know, what does Galatians 3:13 say? Just have a quick look. Galatians 3:13.
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us.
Yes. Christ redeemed us. Finished. He took the curse on him, set us free. Liberated. You know, so his death was a liberation death. Then next, we are redeemed not by any human wealth, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Here, ransom is paid by money. So many lakhs, so many crores now, no? In this thing. But blood, anybody can pay the price of blood. 1 Peter 1:19 says this. Yeah? We are redeemed not by any human wealth, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:19. Then Jesus Christ is the Lord that bought us. Jesus Christ is the Lord that bought us, purchased us. 2 Peter 2:1. 2 Peter 2:1. Jesus Christ is the Lord that bought us. Then another verse says, we are bought with a price. We are bought with a price. We have been paid. Jesus has paid a price. And that is on 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20 and 1 Corinthians 7 verse 23. Which talks about the price which Jesus paid. The New Testament constantly declares that it cost the death of Jesus Christ to rescue man from the dilemma and the slavery into which sin had brought him. Now, even sometimes when the doctor, when the devil attacks me through this pain or that pain or something like that, I claim this because I've learned it now through practice. I immediately, you know, the other day I had a sudden sprain in my leg, you know, near my hip. I didn't know what had happened. I never twisted. I never did anything. But I knew now, you know, as I told you, the moment you come closer to the Lord, He will be after you. So I knew it was His attack at all. And I just couldn't walk, you know. And then I was at work. It happened then. Nothing happened as I was in my distinct. And then after, immediately I got the feeling that it's a devil's attack. And I started, I allowed it to happen. So I said, chalo, you know, that pain is such that, you know, you like it also, you don't like it also. You know, that type of pain. I don't know how many of you understand it. But, you know, so, but next day it started becoming a little bit more. I said, now this is definitely not from the Lord. It's an attack. So I started screaming. You know, I always scream now at Him because God has given me this thing. I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get your filthy hands off my legs. Of my entire body and of my entire family. I said, you have no authority on this body of mine. This body belongs to Jesus. He has purchased it and He wants it as it is. You have got no right to this. I said it a couple of times, you know, and believe me, pain left. It was getting worse. It left until today. There's no pain. I'm telling you, brothers, you know, it may sound something very silly. It may sound, doesn't matter. But I know what it is. And if you try, because see, why it suddenly happened and suddenly went off. If it was getting worse, I was beginning to limp. That's the time when I said, chalo, now I have to hit the nail on this guy's head. No, I started this thing, and within a couple of proclamations, the pain went off. So just for your listening knowledge. Now, thirdly, the death of Jesus Christ was universal in its benefits. Universal. Did He say, like, no, I'm going to die only for this? I'm going to die only for that? No. He died for every man and for every woman of every race. There was a time when, which is true actually, when the Jews were always saying that we are the favorites of God. Right? Fine. God is to like that. But they did not stop there. They began hating the others who are not Jews. Right? They began hating because for them, their salvation was only for them. And I think there are some Jews even today who are still on that same thread, who is waiting for the Messiah to come. No, they have got that. That is why Jesus came to break this belief of theirs. He came to break it. Because salvation is for all. Do you know that incident when the pagans were added into the salvation history? Somebody got a dream. Okay, Peter got a dream. And in that dream, what did he see?
Sheet coming down.
And on a sheet, what was there?
All sorts of
good and bad meat was there.
All creatures,
yeah? Good and bad. What was proclaimed as bad in the Old Testament was on that. And then the voice of God tells him, "Press Peter, eat." He said, "No, I will not eat it. This is all dirty meat. You know, most of it is dirty." He says, "Eat," second time. And then the third time he said, "Eat." And then that's the time when the church claims that all meat now is... Everything is clean because God has said it is clean. That's why, this thing. And then that's the time then Peter goes and says that the message is that the pagans also are into this salvation. So the doors have been opened for everyone. And Jesus died for that. Okay. So God, we meet a God who loves the world. All men, all women are included in it. Then the fourth point is, the death of Jesus was an availing death. He did not die for nothing. He died for a purpose. Okay, and in this purpose, there are three aspects of His work of Christ. First of all, in the song it is now. All these explanations are in the song. Now, what is the song again?
You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals. For you were slaughtered and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God.
You have made them to be a kingdom. Okay, so Jesus has made us kings. Yeah, He opened the men to royalty of the sonship of God. We are kings, right? But we behave as paupers, right? We are kings, but we behave as paupers. Now, if we only knew, like, you know, sometimes I'm not trying to refute any form of worship or any form of asking. But I, in my own sense, would rather go to God with authority, you know, say, Lord, I'm your son, I need this, rather than go with a begging bowl, you know, so please, Lord, please, 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 right? God has won the victory. If you understand what God has won the victory, God does not do anything right now. He wants us to claim. Now, when we claim, you know, He's proud of us when we claim. Because He knows. Take an example, our children only. Okay, if our child comes to us asking, begging for money, and he's not a wrong child. I mean, he's doing things very well. He's not going to disobey. But he comes for something, and you know that it is really good. Well, will you make him beg for it? You will willingly give, right? And you will help him. You know, and we'll just sing him. So that is the, if we as small, as earthly fathers know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit when we ask of Him? Right? That's the thing. So the Father likes us. Now, many a times I get this thing, like, you know, suppose we are two good friends. Suppose Engel and I are very good friends, right? And we are not friends?
Yes.
We are good. And now see, we have such good friends that even our eye contact can work. Okay, somebody is around now us and we cannot talk. But one wink or one thing and you know what is the message. The same thing should be our relationship with the Lord. No need of telling the Lord he's sick, his hand is blistering, so cut his hand off or peel his hands off. And we are asking Quinn's things like that. Lord David, Lord Rocky, Lord Neville. Finish. He knows what to do. You have put a petition to him. And be rest assured that he is going to take care of it. You might have to remind him sometimes. Like, you know, not that he is forgetful, but he also wants to see how much are you interested in that person. Yeah? We get prayer requests like, you know, tuck, 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 I put her hands up. And then after 5 minutes, you know, we forget what the prayer request is also. You know? So it's because such a thing. It is a thing for us. We have to be responsible for it. Maybe we cannot, we get lists are so long that we cannot, of course, say all, every prayer list. So at least once, the first time it comes, you know, just pray sincerely to that person and then say, Lord, yesterday's request, today's request, tomorrow's request. That's enough. You know, that's enough. Lord, let the injection go right into his vein. Let that thing take place. I used to have prayer requests like that, you know, before in the intercessories and all, but thank God we are finished with that.
Then you tell the history
job. Well, Alan is the proof there. Okay, so, but we don't need that, okay? So the death of Jesus, now he made us kings. Okay, so his is a kingdom, his, and we are the kings of his. He made us priests, right? In the past, a priest was the only one privileged to go into the temple, and that too in the Holy of Holies once a year for the atonement of sins. At the most, a person could go is from the outer courts into the women's courts, into the court of Israel, as a maximum. Beyond that, you could not go. That was a bad thing. Beyond that, only a priest could go into the Holy of Holies and once a year for the atonement. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn into two. And that was an indication that the pathway to God and us are opened. Now, for any occasion, we normally have this ribbon cutting, no? Yeah. So that was a part of what he cut it with his blood, you know. But that was a part, like, you know, say no more this thing. You are free to go. That is why, you know, so some of these people from the other faith are a little bit opposed on we approaching Mother Mary, because we know the love of Mother Mary. We know that, you know, if we had gone to other sources, something, we may take 10 days for our prayer to be answered. With Mother Mary, 10 minutes it happens sometimes, because she's so ardently in this thing. But they say when you can go directly to the Father, why do you come through? Why do you have to go through the thing? Well, they have got their own ways of argument, which I don't want to go into. But you know, suppose Ellingale and this one, Shalini is. I'm come to meet Ellingale, but Shalini is on the way. Like, will I just avoid her and go into to meet Elengil? I have got the authority. Like, not authority, but Elengil has to come anytime to meet the disciples, don't worry. But I will still say hello, mommy, hello, auntie. You know, now I'm calling you auntie, just for the example's sake. Can I meet, you know, I'm talking about somebody his her age coming to meet her. Can I meet Elengil? So, oh, yes, okay, Baba, go, you know. And if she had gone directly, maybe Elengil would not be ready to disciple. But when Shalini shouts Elengil, and she'll come running, you know. So, things happen faster, right? So it is like that. So although we have got this thing to go straight to them, but Mother Mary always helps us out. So he has given us a direct entry to the Father. And thirdly, he has given us triumph. Okay, triumph.
Victory.
He has made us, it is not a political triumph, but it is a triumph, a victory under any circumstances. Now it says in John 16:33, okay. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, in the world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. That means be joyful, I have overcome the world. Is your problem so big that Jesus has not overcome it? When you are afraid of your problem, when you are doubting your problems, you are doubting Jesus. Oh, maybe this was not on Jesus' list when he was there. I think, you know. He was tempted in all ways, but he never sinned. He was tempted, completely tempted, but he never sinned. So you remember that whatever your tribulations are, whatever your trials are, it has come. Jesus has done it. He knows it. And what a better way, like I always say, you know, ask Jesus, look at this list now. I've got so many things. But what are you going to do about it? Put it in his court. He'll never set you empty-handed. He will fight your case for you. There was nobody to fight for him, but he will fight your case because he has gone through you. And that's why he says, no, this is, be of good cheer means you make yourself victorious. When you are victory, you have got cheerfulness. No? Otherwise, you'll be a this thing. Huh? So, I have overcome the world. In Christ, there is victory over self, victory over circumstance, and victory over sin. Amen. See, self, victory, circumstances, victory, and sin, victory over sin. It says it nice. When we think of what the death and life of Jesus Christ has done for men, it is no wonder that the living creatures and the elders burst into the praise of him. So you cannot contain yourself. You know, there is a case when that sinful woman, she broke an alabaster jar, and she wiped her hair, Jesus' feet with her hair. And Judas of all the people said, like, no, why did she break such an expensive jar? And it could have been used for the poor. But Jesus said, no, the poor they'll always get. But I will never get. And then she says that greater are her sins that are forgiven, so that she knows the value of the sin. So the persons whose sins are less and forgiven doesn't know what is the value than a person who has done great sins and is forgiven. So that person who has done great sin and is forgiven will be joyful, will be thankful to the Lord more than a person who has received less. Right? So you always think about it. Then, now it is the song of the angels. Chapter 5:11. Song of the angels.
Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with a full voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.
Yes. Now this is the final part of the song, which is sung by the angels. Now the song of the living creatures and the elders told of the work of Christ in his death. Okay. Now the angels sing of the possession of Christ in his glory. Because the angels are closer to him, they know his glory. And now there are seven great possessions which are attributed to the risen Lord in this paragraph itself. Okay. First, to him belongs the power. Right or wrong?
Yes.
Yeah? They are praising him for his power. Now Paul called Jesus Christ the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Jesus Christ is called the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. He is not a one who can plan and never achieve, because to him belongs the power. So we can triumphantly say
He is able. You know? He is able to do anything He wants to do. And you, there is nothing on His list which He cannot do. He has the power of the world. You know, such great realities. And we are still living as timids. You know? He has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love and self-control. Yeah? Then, to Him belongs the riches. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Though He was rich, for your sake He became poor. He left His divinity, He left His throne and He came down for us. Then again, Paul speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, His riches are so much that even you cannot search. For yours will be somewhere in the thing. He's got so much riches in Him. And that is mentioned in Ephesians 3, 8. There is no promise that Jesus Christ has made that He does not possess the resources to carry out. There is no claims on Him which He cannot satisfy. Whom we are asking. And there are always a question mark, will He do it? Will He not do it? Will He do it? Will He not do it? Sometimes we take those, you know, those stones and say, put it up, yes or no, yes or no. Third, to Him belongs the wisdom. Wisdom. To Him belongs the power, to Him belongs the riches, now to Him belongs the wisdom. Paul calls Jesus Christ the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Okay. Then to Him belongs the strength. Christ is the strong one who can disarm the powers of evil and overthrow Satan. Luke 11:22. I think this scripture should be hugged. There is no situation with which He cannot cope. Belongs the strength. To Him belongs the honor. The day comes when to Him every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. Philippians 2:11. You know, if you ask an honest non-Christian, they will always tell you, an honest one, especially the older generation, they will always tell you that, you know, if you want to tackle this world, you have to live according to the principles of Jesus. They'll always tell you truthfully. Yeah? There is a lot of people who know that. So to Him belongs the honor. To Him belongs the glory. John says that we beheld His glory from glory as of the only Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Glory is that which by right belongs to God alone. So to say that Jesus Christ possesses a glory is to say that He is divine. And the seventh one is, to Him belongs the blessings. Here is the inevitable climax of it all. Blessings. That is why when the topic came about Marcus, the blessings topic came in, right? Yeah. So all the way from there is a blessing. Okay, now we come to the final stage of Revelations 13 and 14.
Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped.
This is the climax of the worship now. Now in this song, there are two things to note. Okay, the creatures which are in heaven add their praise. Who are they? More than one answer has been given. So, you know, the creatures, it is the sun and the moon which praises the Lord. It is the birds in the air which sing praises to the Lord. Yeah, it is... every possible creation of God praises the Lord. Okay. Now, the creatures which are beneath the earth add to their praises. Now, see, this is the first time. The Old Testament always tells you of a place called Hades, right, where all the dead people go in. And in fact, they said something. In death, there is no remembrance of the insure who can praise thee. Psalm 6:5 says, you know, this is the psalmist give God the, you know, tells the God, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Psalm 30 verse 9. Okay, all these are the Old Testament things which shows you that once you are dead, you are going to into a special place. Dost thou work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise thee? Is the steadfast love declared in grave, or thy faithfulness in abandon? This is in Psalms 88:10-12. So everywhere, we know that in death there is no people die. But here is the first time that even that under the earth the people are praising the Lord. So there is nothing that Jesus has not covered. He is the Lord over everything, good, bad, and you know, in one of the churches, we already got that, no? The souls ask, how much, Lord? How much more do we have to wait? And Jesus says, wait for some more time. There are some more still to come, you know. So only the one he spent three nights there, yeah, to snatch the keys from the evil one. And so that is why there is no power on earth, heaven, or under the earth that is not subjugated to Jesus. So we serve a God who is so powerful, who is so wonderful, who is so
listening.
Now, as I always say, you know, if after hearing what the Lord has spoken to us, now we go back and we come back to the same mindset that we came before, nothing has gained. But now when we go back and we ponder over what the Lord has taught us today, right? His power, His divinity, His sonship, His authority, His victory. And if we make that, put it into use tomorrow, next Friday, you will be bubbling. Because you have to experience. You have to experience like what life is. Otherwise, it is just a monotonous thing. Just a monotonous thing. There are two types of people or three types of people. One is who are less than average, who don't want to do anything good. And they are confident in that. One is who will just move on an average speed. Like, okay, that's my job, I'll do it. And one are the conquerors, the overcomers, who will say, like, no, I want it better than this. If you are satisfied with your life today, fine. No problems. But I'm not satisfied with mine. I need something higher.
Yes.
I need something. So that should be our goal. So when you are got a desire to go something higher, God gives you the ability to go higher, God proves it to you.
Amen.
That there is something great. In this universe, till the end of the day, there is something that only you can,
yes,
if you have got that desire, you can unopen.
Amen.
You can unopen. The keys are in your hand. But it only comes to the conquerors.
Yes.
Okay? And conquership does not come from the Lord as a gift. You have to develop it.
Desire, develop it.
Suppose I tell you that in this place in Gala, this place, there's one place where there's like, you know, you there is a treasure so great that you don't need to work at it. How many of us will be in the nights here watching that place, trying to find it out? And suppose that thing was true. Now this is just a joke, but suppose that thing was true, you would find. But now today the way of the cross is put all around the church. I want to see how many people are there. It's just a fun, it's just a joke, but it's true in the same way. In your holy presence we stand, Lord, thanking you for the treasures that you have blessed us with today, Lord. Lord, along with this treasure, give us the grace to sink deeper into it, Lord. Because in that, there is fullness of life. You had to go to Sheol to snatch the keys, Lord. It was not given to you on your hands. The same principle holds good for us, Lord. The more we delve into the depth of you, Lord,
You are the treasure, you are the holder of all treasures of this world, Lord. All we have to do is go deeper into you, Lord, and you will show it to us. You will give it to us, the victory, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your teachings today. And we pray, Lord, without your power, we can do nothing. We depend on your power every moment of our lives, Lord. And we pray, O Lord, help us to be dependent on this power, Lord. Because with you, we are more than conquerors. Amen. But without you, Lord, we will just go flat. Yes. Lord, as we go to our hospital visits, Lord, once again, let your move before us, Lord God. Touch the patients that need to hear your word, Lord. Touch the doctors and the nurses, Lord, who are desperately wanting to hear something good from you, Lord God. Yes. Lord, there is power in what we speak, Lord. Life and death is in the power of your of our tongues, Lord. And help us to use it, O Lord, to give glory, to give life into those who are dead, dead at the moment, Lord. Spiritually, especially, Lord. And Lord, as we travel, O God, bless our vehicles, Lord. Bless our families, Lord, wherever they are, Lord God. Your hand of protection is always upon them, Lord. Bless them, Lord, with the riches that you bless us with Friday after Friday, Lord. Because these riches can travel to enter the ends of the earth, Lord. And Lord, once again we pray, O Lord, give us that desire, Lord. Give us that grace, O Lord God, to not to be at ease until we come to you, Lord. You know, in a full measure, Lord God. Knowing, O Lord, that whoever comes to you will never go back empty-handed, Lord. And Mother Mary, continue to be with us. Be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us. Give us that inspiration that you had so that we may truly be like you.
Yes.
Waiting on God all the times and being blessed by what God has ordained for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
The victory, the power, the conqueror, the all in all. Is you, Lord Jesus, and we, children of God, agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Have a blessed day, dear. Thank you.